So this is the music of Paul Drescher you've been hearing for quite a while now on Crackle Dawn, and I personally am mesmerized. There are four reverse audio cassettes that the tapes flip over, and there are about 10 tapes varying in speed and duration of about 46 minutes through to about 65.
About 74 on each.
74. And as you can hear, there are some synthesized sounds and many ambient sounds from nature, from that were recorded from Lake Anza to Sri Lanka,
Kenya.
And dogs. We haven't heard dogs before.
Those are Sri Lankan dogs.
So I've been asking Paul all through the long morning, what's this? What's that? It's just wonderful. So I want to know what you dream about.
Last night I had a dream that I was going on stage and I was in the middle of a piece and I didn't know what the piece was. And I was saying, I turned to the person next to me, who was John Dykers in my dream. John, what piece is this? What do I do next?
That's an anxiety dream.
I think it was a George Coates piece.
Do you ever dream that your teeth are loose and they're falling out?
Not since I was about 10 years old.
Because that's a kind of a singer performer's dream, you know, typical. So, what advice do you have for young composers?
Don't listen to critics, and just keep doing it. And it helps to learn something about business too. As despicable as that might sound, it doesn't hurt to know that if you want to get paid to write your music, perform your music, you have to know about how to get paid, which is called business in this country.
So don't listen to critics, keep going, and business. I think the most important one is the second, which is keep doing it, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's what I tell myself anyway.
Ask questions all the time. Ask why did you do that?
Who's your favorite living composers? Who are they?
Ooh, that's hard. I'd say Ingram Marshall is one of my favorites, and I have many favorites. I think Harold Budd is wonderful. I think Robert Ashley is wonderful. I think John Cage is wonderful. The list is very long, and those are, you know, not just the top four. There are many who I have an enormous respect for, and whose music touches me deeply.
What about dead composers?
Some of those are more embarrassing.
Why? You mean like Tchaikovsky
some people,
and stuff
no,
like that?
No. I love Mahler.
Uh-huh.
And I love Bach.
Uh-huh. That's not embarrassing.
I guess not. Some people think you're weird if you like Mahler.
Who cares?
There are a few others.
What's the very first sound you remember hearing?
First sound, boy, I haven't thought about that for a long time. I don't think I can think about that.
Well, if not the first, what
I think the sound
comes
of
to mind?
Stepping on a spider.
Stepping on a spider?
Yeah.
What sound is that?
Sort of goes crunch.
Oh.
I think that's one of my earliest memories is spiders and black widows.
Black widows? Where were you brought up?
There were black widows where I was brought up.
Where was that?
In Los Angeles. I was always having to be very careful when I played in the wood piles and things like that.
What other sounds?
Elvis Presley. My sister played Elvis Presley all the time when I was a kid. Actually, a lot of them were those fake remakes on Dot Records. There was this label called Dot Records that people covered all the big hits of the days and they weren't, I don't know how they got away with that, but they sounded just like the originals, or they tried to.
What were they, like dubs or something? Other recordings, you mean? Other pressings?
Yeah, they were just somebody covering like an Elvis Presley tune, like, you know, Jailhouse Rock or something like that.
Oh, you mean not even Elvis singing, just a cover.
Yeah, but I remember Elvis doing it too.
Uh-huh.
I listened to the radio station KRLI, which had a two-hour Elvis show every Sunday night.
You know, it's amazing how good they sound. The real ones, the real old Elvis. And they're pretty simple, you know, pretty simple stuff.
Well, you know, a lot of rock and roll is simple. It's in the performance.
I know.
And it's in the feeling. That's the most important part. That's what makes it strong.
So I think what we were talking earlier about this, about the fact that you mainly perform your works, which I think is a real strong point, because I think it's great to use technology, you know, as backup and so on, but it's so wonderful still to see to actually see the performer live.
Well, that's my idea too. I agree.
And you were talking about the risk. Do you like taking risks?
Yeah, I like risk a lot. And sometimes doesn't always work. There have been, I think, three times in my performing career where I've had to stop a show because, as is evident probably, technology plays a large part of the performance, or my making music. And sometimes if one device dies, there's no way the show can be realized. And fortunately, I've always been able to continue the show, you know. Even the high technology stuff, it's peculiar how hitting it with hard objects sometimes fixes it. I have a device that, you know, it's a very high-tech, expensive device that it goes out on me periodically, and the best way to fix it is to bang it.
That's not how you broke your hand, though.
No.
Okay.
I was banging something out.
A door, I understand.
That's true.
So, what else? What other instruments do you play?
I play guitar as my main instrument, and I consider, you know, as a composer, I play the keyboard, but I'm not a very good piano player or keyboard player. And so, even though on stage I play the keyboard probably more than I play the guitar, because the sounds that are accessible to me on the from the keyboard, particularly samplers and synthesizers, but samplers are the most interesting thing to me, I can, through my compositional expertise, cover for my lack of keyboard skills.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can make my sounds complex before I even hit a note. And so when I initiate a sound from the keyboard, a lot of composing, a lot of performing has already happened before. So just hitting one note might initiate many sounds that I've created in the sampler or something like that.
In your piece Shelf Life, what were some of the books that the dancers from the Margie Jenkins Company chose as their inspiration?
Oh, gee,
do you remember what some of them were?
Yeah, I knew some of them I didn't. There was one called Places in the World a Woman Could Walk by a woman who, I don't remember her name, but it was a very marvelous book. There was Kesey's Sometimes a Great Notion.
Mm-hmm.
It was a new book by Ray Bradbury, which was sort of a mystery, which I have not read. Or I all the books I browsed, but I never, I didn't read all the way through. There was Chaim Potok's book.
A new one?
Book of Lights. It's not that new. There was a couple of pulp novels, pulp western. The characters, there was no continuity between the choices, although all the books, I think, were relatively recent books. There were no classics. There was no Dostoevsky or, you know, and it was all probably literature written within the last 20 years.
One of the phrases that Rindy Eckert used, which you commented on before and from Shelf Life, was an arranged marriage in an accidental community.
Yeah.
And you said that was like what, doing a major project?
That's like the performing arts is like that for me. I collaborate a lot and I really love collaboration. I love working with different people, and so you make a project together, and so for maybe several months you're with that person or a group of people for, like, you know, could be with them 12 hours a day, you know, doing, you know, so much of your life and then the project is finished, and you may not see them for months or ever again. And you may have grown real close, but because of the nature of touring and being on the next project, which is probably taking as much time as the first project took, you may have very little time to have contact with somebody who you had some real intimacy with. And so it's an arranged marriage, and it becomes a community. And it becomes a community for that project. And this is a kind of... It's one of the nice things, and it's one of the sad things about that kind of way of working, because you're always changing, and that's nice, but then you also are leaving things that you might care about.
I'll describe a perfect day.
Perfect day. The phone never rings. And I have a music studio that I don't have, which is not in my basement.
The kids jumping on top.
The kids jumping. Oh, you know about that.
Is it a school on top of
your head? Yeah, there's a preschool
on
top of my music studio. So between 9 and 10 in the morning, they do what they call circle time. And that's the time when they program the kids to release a great deal of energy so that they're more manageable later in the day. And so they do...
What do you do during circle time?
I put on the headphones. Or I go make a cup of coffee.
Uh-huh.
And I'm very accustomed to it because I've lived with the preschool either above or below me, because my living quarters are above the school and my studio is below the school. And I don't know, it's an ambience that's not a problem anymore.
So to continue with the perfect day, the phone doesn't ring and you're in a...
I'm in a studio where I have a lot of... there's a lot of light in the studio, and the equipment doesn't break down, and I have lots of wonderful ideas, and then I get them down on tape or on paper, and then I have a great cup of coffee and someone to talk to, and then I go back to work, and I do that all day.
And that is a perfect day.
Yeah, maybe take a walk.
Uh-huh. Where?
Well, it could be anywhere. It could be in the city. It could be in the country.
Mm-hmm. What do you like to eat?
Food. I like Thai food. What else do I eat? I would be too embarrassing to say what I eat.
Why?
Might be illegal nowadays.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, then we'll just skip it and I'll find out myself, and you'll just all have to wonder. You should give us a call, you know, at 848-4425 or 848-4426 and talk to Paul Drescher and find out more about his compositional techniques, which are myriad and fascinating. You are listening to KPFA and KPFB in Berkeley and KFCF in Fresno. And this is Barb on Crack O'Don with our special guest, Paul Drescher.